All right, Andrew, here we are now at the intersection of South 71 and some sort of major road here in Belton, Missouri. We are trying to get to Springfield. We've been out here for probably 30 minutes or so, and we've already had a range of experiences, including a kid throwing pennies at us, specifically at you, which you did not appreciate, obviously.
Yeah, I need a lot of time to process that. I'm not joking. I am furious at that little shit right now.
I'm not trying to laugh because it's not funny, and I know your feelings are real, but the idea of you just beating the crap out of that kid, it's so funny to me.
Why would you throw a little kid? Like, how old is that kid? 11 years old? 12 years old?
Tops. I'd say maybe like 8. Maybe rolls down the window, looks right at us, and then just like throws pennies.
It's like standing. He's at a stoplight with his mom looking at us. Then as she slowly drives by, he throws 2 damn pennies at my damn face and laughs in my face.
So we had the kid throw pennies at us. We've also had a lot of people just kind of beep and give us a kind of like, stay strong, man.
Yeah. Like, and there's somebody who is asking for money on the other, on the off-ramp across the street from us, catty corner from us, and he gave us advice, told us to go further down the on-ramp. He wants us to get a ride.
I thought he was going to be mad like we're on his turf.
Yeah,
but we're not asking for money. We're just trying to get a ride to Springfield. Now, like, for the podcast listeners, describe the sign that you drew on the dry erase board. I think it's pretty genius.
I mean, the key word there, Luke, is drew, because we were trying to figure out, we needed to put on the small, like, what is this, foot and a half by foot and a half square dry erase board. We had to put where we're going, but I also felt like we needed to indicate somehow that we're podcasters or radio people, so that it seems like, you know, it's kind of a stunt. Like, we're fun. Look at us. We're fun, yeah. Flirty.
Yeah.
Let us ride in your
pickup
truck.
We'll dance for pennies.
Right. So I drew a big penny, and I said, throw it at my face. And it worked. No, so instead of, we didn't have rooms to say podcast and then explain what RSS feeds are. So instead, I drew a pair of headphones and a microphone.
I think it's
Springfield really big, and then there's a big microphone.
Oh, we just got a nice wave. Hey, you know, a wave and 25 cents will get you a stick of gum. How about a ride? Here's the part where you sing TBTL.
TBTL.
All right, everybody. We made it. Yes, indeed. We were picked up and driven, I don't know, 3.5 hours or so, not to Springfield, Missouri, it turned out, but to an equally amazing place known as the Munger Moss Motel, located on the Mother Road. That's right, Route 66. Today we join you from Lebanon, Missouri. This is a Thursday afternoon edition of TBTL.
Two men celebrating each other's strength.
The show that just might be too beautiful to live. My name's Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
I don't want any more bullshit any time during the day from anyone. That includes me.
And this is, of course, a day 4 of the TBTL-a-thon, TBTL-a-thon 9, thumbs up for TBTL.
Life is a highway.
Edition, where we are traveling the highways and byways of America. Today we are in the Ozarks, primarily through hitchhiking. And doing it all to try to remind you that we need you to support TBTL. For this show to continue on, and frankly for us to get out of the Ozarks at some point, we need you to go to TBTL.net and make a donation at any level that works for you. Because something our bosses look at is not just the amount of money that's raised, but the number of people who participate in the TBTL-a-thon. So anything that you can do, any amount, be it large or small, over at TBTL.net would be most appreciated and would help us out more than you could ever know.
That cash could really get me out of a couple of jams.
We also have some TBTL-related news to talk about today on the program. WBUR, the public radio station in Boston that so cruelly rejected our submission for being the new hit weekend comedy radio show, they have picked their show.
You gotta be kidding me.
And we'll tell you what they picked. We'll tell you the show idea that was apparently so much better than ours that WBUR is now producing a comedy pilot with these other people. I'm not saying they suck. I'm just saying they're not us, so obviously they suck kind of hard. Wish I wouldn't have used hard at the end of that sentence. Speaking of someone who's light as a feather, stiff as an Andrew, sitting right over there is the longest-running Cobra of the program. He is hysterical out there. He's the president of Rap Music. Where's the party at?
Party!
It's wherever he's at, baby.
Who is my daddy, and what does he do?
He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us now from room 12 at the Munger Moss Motel. Hello, my dude.
Hello. So much to unpack after that intro, yet somehow I'm stunned and I can think of nothing to react to.
I apologize. That was so much dirtier than I meant it to be. I mean, I'm staring at a Gideon's Bible here in this roadside motel. I should have better standards for myself and a cleaner mind. I apologize. Create in me a clean heart, O Munger Moss Motel.
What did the owner of this motel, I'm sure we will
Ramona?
Be talking more about Ramona in a little bit, but there's a bowling alley across the street from us and not a lot else as far as places to eat or drink. And when it was 9 o'clock and we were looking for a place last night, we asked her, is there a place we could get a nightcap? And she said, you're in the Baptist Bible Belt. She didn't say baby. It would have been nicer if she said, you're in the Baptist Bible Belt, baby.
But she knew that that's your trademark
phrase. Yeah, she respected that, and I like it.
Where's the Bible Belt? Wherever Andrew is, baby.
Here we are. I would try, but I'm not good with words. Please start by describing where we are right now.
We will get to how we ended up in Lebanon. And by the way, it is spelled like Lebanon.
Like, it is pronounced Lebanon, though, like
that's
in New Hampshire?
That's what our friend Shannon, who drove us from Belton, Missouri, here to Lebanon, he referred to. And I was listening around town. I was listening around the Applebee's last night, and I heard people saying Lebanon.
Okay.
I've not heard it pronounced Lebanon, but
that's how it is in New Hampshire, too.
We are here at the – we are actually quite seriously and quite literally on Route 66. Remember, Kiki Lolo told us – that Route 66 starts somewhere around here, and so it shouldn't be a surprise that in fact we've made it here to Route 66. We're about an hour from Springfield. We'll get into how we got here in a minute, but yeah, this motel, the Munger Moss Motel, is amazing. It's historic. It's been here since the 1940s, and it is run and owned by a woman, Ramona, who is herself seemingly a piece of history. She's 80 years old. She takes absolutely zero shit from anyone.
Boy, that's her brand.
Yes. She is, I mean, without getting too much into the details, let's just say, Andrew, when we called from the road, your first interaction with her, which was complex for a few reasons. One, we were driving in the Ozarks, and the cell reception was pretty lousy. So you started to have the conversation with her, and then the phone died out. But also, she sounded a little stern, maybe.
Yeah, I'll try to reenact it as much as possible. I called and said, we're coming through town.
Do you want me to be you, and do you want to be Ramona?
Do you want to do role playing? I'm trying to think if that'll pay off here. No, let me summarize.
Are you sure?
No, people love it when
we're role playing. Who is my daddy, and what does he do?
Okay, you...
Don't do it. I already know what your brain's trying...
You do Schwarzenegger.
I already know what your brain's trying to do. Fight it. Okay, so...
Okay.
Okay, so I'll be you.
So you be George H.W. Bush.
We are now doing callbacks to jokes that were made while we were setting up the audio gear.
You be George H.W. Bush. I'll be the church lady. Oh, no. Okay, do you actually want to role play it then?
Sure.
Okay, you're being me, because
you
heard my end of the conversation.
Yeah.
I guess you can do a decent me.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so ring, ring. Hi there. We're wondering about getting a couple of rooms tonight at your motel.
Well, what do you want?
We want two rooms.
Yeah, what do you want?
Two motel rooms.
Yeah, what do you want? One bed? Two beds? Three beds?
I mean, one bed would be fine.
Hello? Hello?
That's my
Ladies
impression of a dial tone. That's my impression of George H.W. Bush impersonating
getting
a dial tone.
By the church lady.
Not gone. I'm sorry. I have to give the context for that now.
No, you don't.
Okay.
People know. They're both too...
We have been hanging
overdone
out together.
Characters.
You and I have been hanging out 24/7. For now, 5 or 6, I don't know how long it's been, 5 days or something. And we're starting to really kind of become goofy and loopy. And as we were setting things up in here, you said something about how you love it when Jay-Z says damn. You think it's just kind of funny.
That's how it started. Because it's such a pedestrian swear word. Just like, throw your damn hands up. It's like he's sick of thinking of clever swear words at that point.
And so then I did like a Jay-Z impression of him laughing, which is, I mean, was so bad. And I was like, the weird thing is Jay-Z's, a semi easy person to impersonate. And my Jay-Z impression was so bad. So then you threw in a George H.W. Dana Carvey doing George H.W. Bush, I think.
I think I did a not going to do it.
And then the church lady. And then anyway, that's what that was a reference to. Let's talk about when we rolled in to Lebanon last night. As you already mentioned, we got here. And what we figured out was that Ramona is a dear, sweethearted individual.
She's playing a character. I told you that in the car.
Yeah.
You were like, what happened there? I'm like, well, she was cranky because it was you and the person driving us. Our friend Shannon. And I think sometimes you have a tendency to get a little defensive on my behalf when somebody throws pennies at me or whatever.
Oh, man.
We
need to block out some time for that, too.
But I think I told you right away. I was like, well, no, I think she's being the cantankerous.
Right.
She's playing that cantankerous person.
Even when we got here, though, we got here, and this place has one of the most amazing motel signs you'll ever see. I mean, it's right out of Central Casting. It's this very cool neon sign. It is on Route 66. I mean, it was, in fact, we ended up here. I know I keep putting off the part about her talking to the bowling alley guy, but got here because our plan, when we were in the car with Shannon, who works around the state of Missouri. He works for the United States Postal Service, and he works around the state of Missouri, but he lives out here kind of in the greater Lebanon area. Our plan was to get dropped off in a place called Buffalo, Missouri, which would have then left us about 30 miles short of Springfield, Missouri, which was our stated goal. And then we would have hitched over to Springfield. But when we said, we would love to stay in just kind of like a classic roadside motel, he said, oh, yeah, the Munger Moss.
I think he first said it as a joke.
Right.
I think he said, I could drop you at the Munger Moss. And we're just like, what's the Munger Moss?
And then we Googled it on our phones, and then we were like, yes, that is where we're going. So basically our whole trip got changed based on the sign for this place. So then we roll up, and we, Ramona, we want to take a picture with you, me, and Shannon, and the sign. Mm-hmm. And Ramona, who is 80 years old, comes kind of, you know, waltzing out of the front desk area / gift shop / museum of things from the 1940s, which I kind of almost couldn't even handle myself around. So the aesthetic of this place is so up my alley, it's not even funny. The thing you sign in on, like when you signed for the rooms, there was no, she did not issue a key card. She did not scan your debit card or your actually APM credit card in this case. There was like the old school, like leather, I don't know what you'd call it, but just kind of thing that you wrote this out on a kind of a ticket, mm-hmm. your information, and it was written out on an old school little I don't know what you'd call it, clipboard
that said
Munger Moss on it from the 19 I think she said it was from the 1970s. So anyway, she came out and everything that we said to her seemed like the wrong thing for about the first 4 minutes.
Well, do you remember the exact thing that, so you're kind of taking out your phone, kind of talking to Shannon about how we should position ourselves. And I had the whiteboard, this about, I'm going to say, 18-inch square whiteboard that we're using as we're hitchhiking to tell people where we're trying to get. And as a lark, and I knew I probably wasn't going to use it, but I figured I just wrote Shannon, our driver's name, on the whiteboard with an arrow. I was thinking maybe I could stand next to him and like be like, that's Shannon, for the photo. And so I'm doing that. You guys are positioning yourselves, and suddenly this, short old woman comes out of the office, and she's just staring at us. And then the very first words out of her mouth is, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, her first words were, if you take those markers, if I even see you using those markers in the room, I'm going to shoot you. No?
Those were not her first words.
Those weren't her first words. That's just when I started paying attention, maybe.
Yeah. So we greeted her. She looked at us kind of reproachfully. A few things were said. And we had the markers we had were the dry erase markers for the dry erase board. And she came out and I said something to the effect of, Would you take a picture of us? Which was itself complicated because I didn't know if she knew how to operate an iPhone.
Sure.
Turns out she totally does. This morning when I was talking to her about how well I slept here at the Munger Moss, she said, put that on your blog. She's obviously extremely savvy.
Sure.
But at the time, I was like, I don't want to hand her an iPhone and be like, take a picture of us when, one, I'm not sure what kind of foot we're getting off to here, and two, I don't know if she really knows how iPhones work. A spoiler alert, she totally did.
Mm-hmm.
So after I said, could you take a picture of, she goes, on one condition, those markers don't come out of your bags in the room.
Okay, that's what you said. Then the conversation goes on. Do you remember this? She and then you come back to it. You're like, okay, will you take a picture of us? Or maybe, actually, maybe I said it that time. I can't remember. But whoever said it, you or me, she said, she just stared at us and then said, please?
Oh, right. That was to you.
She was kind of going after me a little bit
she
more.
She smelled fear.
Yeah. That is always the dynamic. If there's ever somebody like, but again, even at this point, it's even more clear now, even though she still hadn't cracked at that point, you knew that it was going to crack soon because that she's just so clearly playing this character that is probably part of her personality, but you could just tell that like she's been running a Route 66 old school motel, no frills, just cool, how it was in the 60s for 40 years.
47 years she's owned this place.
And this is what she does. She's the kind of ball-busting owner of the motel who eventually, of course, just becomes the sweetest person you could possibly
imagine. Because then when we're finally checking in, we've gotten the photo, and she, you know, I'm telling her, I'm gushing about all of the sort of, you know, fixtures and finishes in this motel gift shop. She then starts taking a real interest in us, and we said, oh, we're a little hungry. Is there anywhere we can eat? You know, Lebanon, Missouri is not, as they say, they kind of roll the streets up at 10 o'clock here. So there's a bowling alley right across the street from us. And so she just picks up the phone and calls over to, like, you know, Terry or whoever the guy is running the bowling alley. She goes, let me see if the fryer's still on.
The grill.
The grill. Yeah, right. She said, so she calls and she's just, I don't even know if she identifies herself at this point. You feel like this is probably, they probably talk on the phone six times a day about something. And by the way, literally across the street.
Yeah.
Like, I assume that there's a phone line that runs under the road.
Yes.
Under Route 66 and then just goes into the snack bar at the bowling alley. She's like, I got a couple of boys over here and they're hungry.
She's like, they're hitchhiking.
She called us a couple of boys.
I know, it was great.
I'm 42 years old. It made me so happy. And so then she, you know, she said, well, and she talked to him and hung up and said, well, the grill is turned off for the night, but he can make you some chicken strips or something. We said, fine, that sounds great. So we go to our rooms, kind of unpack our stuff, and then we're about to walk back over to the bowling alley, and who's just waiting for us to make sure we're okay. We know where we're going. Like, it's not complicated. The bowling alley is across the street. It's good old Ramona, and she comes out, and she does, like, an interesting move. It's like a double handhold with us.
Mm-hmm.
Her hands are crossed. She's sort of crossing her arms, and she's holding your hand, and she's holding my hand in an embrace. And she, and you know, she's 80 years old, so, you know, I want to make sure I'm not embracing her hand too hard.
Oh, really? She was squeezing mine so hard.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like
fingers.
Exactly. It was like it was like kneel before Zod. I was like, are we doing this right now? Is this a test of strength? Because I don't want to like go ham on this 80-year-old woman's hand. But on the other hand, yo, I'm not going to lose this contest. She's holding her hands and she goes, look at the moon. And I, because the moon was kind of behind some clouds. And I'm being totally honest. In my mind, I was like, I mean, it's fine. It's kind of cloudy. But I was like, you know, I'm trying to give the right answer. And I go, yeah, it's beautiful. She goes, it's cloudy.
It's like, beautiful, it's cloudy.
I was like, yeah.
And also, remember, she came out. So when we were checking in, maybe we're getting into too much detail because we should also talk about how we got here and what the experience was like. But when we checked in, it was, again, kind of like, well, what kind of room do you want? And I'm like, well, just a one bedroom for each of us is fine. And because this place is very affordable. And also, you could use a break from my snoring. I think not something that you raised, by the way. I keep raising it, but I'm pretty embarrassed about my snoring sitch. But anyway, so then she started kind of, there's a small price difference, a very small price difference between a one bed or a two bedroom. And I think you asked the difference.
The price difference is based on, because let's do it. It's happening. The price difference is based on if there's a bathtub
yes.
in the room or if it's just a shower.
But I think, like, I have a one bed mm-hmm. and a shower. You have a two bed.
Well,
because
I told her, I was like, can I please have a room with a pink bathroom?
Right, because we saw
the photos.
I was
very into the pink bathroom.
And I love the bathrooms, too. We looked at them online. That the sign you see first online and then the photo of the inside of the room and then the bathroom is just, like, really cool, old school. And so, anyway, so you made sure to get the one with the pink bathtub. And then when we walk out of our rooms, again, this right before we start holding hands and looking at the moon with her, we are walking across the – we're about to start walking across the street to the bowling alley, and we see her kind of waiting for us, staring at us, watching us walk from her little gift shop area. And then she comes out, and she does this thing. Her move is she just kind of looks at you expectantly, like, again, like, what do you want? And then she finally says – well, how did you like my bathrooms?
Oh, right.
She was like, are you seriously just going to walk right past me and not compliment my bathrooms? She also is very proud of the water here. She said, make sure you fill up your water bottles here. We have well water.
And the water is pretty tasty.
It is, which really surprises me. That's one thing I meant to tell you later. I grew up in, you know, very rural area, and we had whatever kind of city water, municipal water, but some of my friends did have well water, and that was bad. Like, we didn't want well
the
water.
Ozarks,
but here it's
because
great.
I think because of the limestone, like, there's a part of it's probably marketing, but, like, I've had plenty of bottled water from, like, this company called, like, it's like Ozark Springs or something. I think it's kind of a well-known thing around here that that the water, you know, if you get down to the proper, like, water table level, the water is really good and tasty and clean because of how it gets filtered by the natural I'm going to say limestone again, but I don't know if that's technically why it's happening. So I by the way, like, this is the kind of place where there's, like, a plastic cup in the bathroom that's, you know, kind of wrapped, and you unwrap it, and I'm just, like, running the kind of not even that cold water out of the tap in the bathroom mm-hmm. into my plastic cup after my eagle soaring today. And I got to say, she was not exaggerating. The water's really good.
It's good. Yeah.
It's very good. So we're already well overdue for our break here. let's do this. Let's take our break. And then when we come back, we'll just quickly explain how we actually got to Lebanon. And then we'll talk about WBUR and the show that they've chosen instead of us. It's fine. Everything's fine. I'm not angry. I'm just saying that show's probably going to fail because it's not us. But anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll remind you about the TBTL-a-thon. We'll do some Blur's Day messages because just because we're in the Ozarks doesn't mean it's not Blur's Day, Andrew. And then we'll do some emails and V-mails too. So that's all coming up. It's TBTL. Don't go anywhere. Live from the Starlight Room at the Munger Moss Motel, this is TBTL, Champagne Dreams, and my quasi-Lawrence Welk / Guy Lombardo / who is this?
This is the Nelson Riddle Orchestra.
/ the Nelson Riddle Orchestra announcer impression really started to break down. Not, should not have done it.
Not gonna do it.
Damn.
We're on a roll, man. Now I know why
you're
people donate
this
to the
one,
show. Now I know why people listen and donate.
Hey, by the way, should we just do that right now? Because we've been yammering on for a while here, but we have not really made the I think the case to the listeners as to why we really need them today more than ever to go to TBTL.net and to donate to the TBTL-a-thon, TBTL-a-thon 9, Life is a Highway Edition. I just realized how apropos that is as we are here on Route 66, the Mother Road, which mm-hmm. I didn't know was called the Mother Road. And last year we drove on Route 66 for TBTL-a-thon 8.
That's
why,
right.
You gotta
only
hate.
Only for a little bit though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I believe it was through Winslow, Arizona.
Oh yeah.
But it comes all the way out here and out.
Sorry, I got real excited there.
Out here everybody refers to it as the Mother Road. Anyway, it's apropos in that this is Life is a Highway edition of the TBTL-a-thon. We were talking about this last night at the Applebee's, Andrew, you and I, The donations this year, you know, we'll just put it this way: it's been good. It's been strong. We've been feeling the love. It hasn't been maybe as many people as years past. Thankfully, the people who have been donating have been pretty generous so far. So that's good, but we can really use more people donating, and you don't have to donate a lot of money. If a dazzling donor level of donation each month is something that's just not in your budget, that's totally okay. If you can donate $5, that means a lot to us and to our bosses, right?
Yeah, and I mentioned this in the newsletter a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's worth repeating. You know, you listen to some really big public radio shows, and you and I have both worked for much bigger public radio shows, and you hear the people asking for donations, and that is really important. But when you're talking about a show on a much bigger national scale like that, or it's never on a national scale, but a bigger scale like that, you can kind of tell yourself that if I don't donate, this show is still going to be around. Like, there's enough other people doing it. And maybe that's not the best attitude to have, and I don't think you should treat your public radio stations that way. But you have a pretty good feeling that the major shows are not just going to go away if Andrew Walsh doesn't donate. But TBTL operates on a much, much smaller level, like incredibly small.
Like, and the difference of like 100 people deciding,
yes,
yeah, you know what, I'm gonna kick them $10. That's critical. Like,
literally makes or breaks the show. And to repeat what I said in the newsletter, like I learned a lot more about the business of podcasting and funding and how all this works just in the last 3 years since we've been part of American Public Media. And, you know, we are in conversations that make me realize this is not a cliche, what I'm telling you. Like, literally every single donation is seen by us, by the people who work with us at APM, and every single one is really, really important because we're just not big enough to coast. We
right.
really, really need every single donation, and that's why I'll repeat what you said, Luke. If you can't donate at the highest levels, God bless you.
Yeah.
You don't have to donate at the highest levels. Donate whatever you can. But even just seeing the number of people who are stepping up, whatever you can donate is fine. But seeing that we have a groundswell of support from our loyal audience really means that we'll be doing this again next year.
Right. Because our bosses, and I don't want to make things sound dire, but, you know, our bosses are always assessing what makes sense for APM on-demand programming. Because we both, you and I both get paid to do this for our job. We get a salary from APM. We get benefits. We feel really lucky to get to have this as a job. But they're looking at that and they're asking themselves, okay, is TBTL bringing in enough money that this is a good use? Because I'm going to be totally honest with you. And now this is where I've taken this and I'm probably
going to make it weird.
Probably. I mean, TBTL is a weird thing. Although we've been proselytizing for the show, I think more aggressively this week than we ever have historically, because everywhere we go, people are like, you're hitchhiking.
Yeah.
And then we say, well, it's for our podcast. And then they say, what's a podcast? And then we explain it. And then we write down on some random piece of paper, tbtl.net. Like, I've probably told 20 people about the show this week, which mm-hmm. is not my usual thing. And what I notice when I'm trying to explain it to people is it's very hard to explain. I don't think that I don't think anybody at APM, any of our bosses, have any ill will towards TBTL. But I don't think that if we went to them and said, can you make a substantial investment in starting a show where these two guys are going to just go around and talk about a mildly complicated interaction with an 80-year-old mm-hmm. hotelier, or maybe she's a motelier in Lebanon, Missouri. Like, if we tried to explain TBTL to them and said, could you fund that? They would be like, yeah, no thanks. Mm-hmm. They would say what WBUR recently said to us, Andrew. Yeah, no thanks. But they're behind TBTL to some degree because it brings in enough money to justify its existence. But that's
to every degree, yes.
That's probably, I mean, it's making it sound like the upper echelons of APM don't like TBTL. I don't think they don't like it, but I just don't think that if we were not bringing money in for the TBTL-a-thon, I don't think we would be on APM. It just wouldn't make any sense, and I wouldn't blame them. I mean, there's a reason why we got fired from Cairo. Like, it's not this show does not make a ton of sense outside of the fact that you, the tens of listeners, really love it and support it and have been supporting it for, like, you know, almost 10 years now. And so anyway, it's important to us that the optics with our bosses look good, that they see, oh, there are a lot of people who are donating to this, and it doesn't all have to be huge donations. Just seeing a lot of people who have taken the time to go to tbtl.net and to donate anything at all, $1, $5, that really does make an impression on them. And then when they're sitting around kind of thinking about looking at the portfolio of shows, whether or not they understand what the heck fire we're doing on this show, they cannot argue with the fact that a bunch of people out there wanted to keep going.
You know what I just thought of? And this is the God honest truth. And we have been kind of, I think, telling a version of this for a while, but the story of TBTL is not you or me. The story of TBTL is the audience. We talk about it on the show and how it makes us feel. I'm almost getting emotional. How it makes us feel when we talk about the community.
I call dibs.
It was so successful. For
unexpected
you
crying this week. Okay,
boy, this is what the road does to you. No, but we talk about it a lot, and it is really special. The community that has built up around TBTL, and that it's so much bigger than you and me. And we say, you and I, Luke, that the more important thing than the podcast at this point is the community. But it just occurred to me, when you're in any APM meeting and somebody from one department is trying to describe it to somebody else or whatever it is, it's never like, it is an amazing right. show with these two talented guys
yes.
who just crack us up. I've never heard
nope.
anybody describe
nope.
the show. You know what they always say?
It is a fundraising miracle.
It is. They have an amazing relationship with their audience. They have an audience that is unlike any other audience
yeah.
we have seen anywhere else.
And they
are amazing people. They don't say you and I are
yes,
amazing
no.
people. They say our listeners are
yes,
amazing people. And
true.
They're right.
They are right. I mean, you said it perfectly. They are amazed, slightly confused, and I think kind of fascinated with this group of people, the tens of listeners, and the lengths that y'all will go to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's that Ozark spring water. I can feel it coursing through my veins. The lengths that the TBTL listeners will go to support the show, you know, financially or otherwise, to just kind of make sure TBTL keeps going. And you're absolutely right, Andrew. I'm kind of hurt now as I think about it. They have never said, I have never heard somebody compliment TBTL for its content.
Right.
We are always complimented for the fierce loyalty of our listeners.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And I think you're right. I think really the important takeaway from this show's existence is not two dinguses in the Munger Moss Motel. I think that the takeaway from this is that there is a community of people out there who really love the show and turn out for the show in ways that are just hard to explain and hard to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the other weird part of this, or is that, and this has been going on, I mean, since the first few years of the TBTLthon, people have reached out to me, people who do other shows, people who want to start shows, and they've sort of said, how do you get this group of people like the tens to be as into what we're doing as the tens are into TBTL? And I'm like, I don't really know, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And even at APM would very much like to have the kind of fierce loyalty that the tens have for our show. They would like that to exist for a variety of shows. And I think when we first got there, they thought, okay, you guys are going to be able to show us the template. And like, then we're going to have like 20 shows, and all 20 shows are going to have like people like the tens.
That's why Marketplace started telling poop stories for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Is that why Kai Ryssdal said yesterday that the markets were poop diddy whoop scoop poop?
I think so. I assume.
And to be honest with you, we have not been able to deliver. If they were going to try to like mine our experience to create more TBTLs and more tens, we have not been able to deliver on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have not made, I mean, they have shows that are popular, more popular than our show. But this is its own unique, odd world, not unlike the Munger Moss Motel.
Mm-hmm.
It has existed for a long time. It's quaint. It's charming. It's almost unexplainable at times. And so anyway, all that to say, we need you to go to tbtl.net right now and support TBTL. If you've been kind of thinking about it, if you've been like thinking you need to wait until you got a spare moment, it doesn't take long. Just get it done with, and then you can listen to the rest of this week with that kind of, you know, that sort of smug self-satisfaction of somebody who's helping support and keep TBTL going.
And I just want to mention again, you've probably, if you're listening to this Thursday episode, my guess is you've been listening all week. So I'll just briefly remind you that we have just some of the coolest gifts this year that we've given away since I've been part of the show. We have T-shirts. We have baseball-style caps, although, Luke, you were very careful to make sure that it's a hat that looks good on everybody. It's not like a rigid baseball hat.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and by the way, that's the most public radio thing I've ever heard. Baseball-style hats.
Well, I noticed that we weren't calling
in
it baseball
hats.
In the style
of hats.
So what do we got? The T-shirts, we have the hats, we have the mugs. They all have this cool new hot dog logo that listener Jeremy made for us. It's really funny, actually. And then, of course, we have the TBTL pets poster, the Pets of TBTL poster that listener Amy made for us last year. You can get that at a level as well. If you want to give $50 a month, then that's how you become a dazzling donor. I've been getting a lot of emails from people saying, how do I get that thing where you guys will like kind of just read whatever message I send you on the show? Well, you give us $50 a month. You don't give it to us. You donate $50 a month to TBTL, and you get the shirt, the hat, and we'll read whatever you want on the air.
And by the way, like, if you have a business, that's not a terrible bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, we'll happily read a message about your business, whatever it might be. I also had somebody who said they figured out how to get their company to do a matching donation.
Yep.
I mean, let's mention this. This is tax deductible. We are American Public Media is a not for profit. And so you can write this off. And if your company matches, you might be able to double your dollars. We, as I've already said, feel really honored and lucky that this is actually a job for us. But I can tell you that it will not actually be a job for us. they're not going to APM is not going to look at us and go, you know what? We didn't bring in much money this year, but we're keeping you around because we love the hashtag content.
Tell us more about Ramona.
Exactly. Well, I mean, unfortunately, we'd have to discover some kind of crime down here and report on it. Oh, wait, In the Dark's doing that. Our version would be called In the Snark, where we would just sit around making fun of stuff.
That's not bad.
So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
And I know a lot of you who are hearing this, because we have a small, tight-knit group of listeners. A lot of you have been donating for years, and you're still donating. And so I want you to know that we appreciate that, too.
Yes.
And if you have been donating, you can just keep that rolling, and you'll get the thank you gifts at the appropriate level.
You have to make sure that you choose the gifts, though.
Right,
you'll
get an
email. You'll get an email from me or Emily at APM. If you've already been giving and you do not get an email from us, email me at andrew@tbtl.net, and I will get it to the right people, and we'll get you on board, because we want to make sure you get the gifts.
Yeah. Thanks again for supporting TBTL. Let's do a top story.
Hello, and welcome to Top Story.
WBUR in Boston has announced that they have selected the public radio pilot idea show that they are going to make into a public radio pilot. And it is, wait for it, McSweeney's Internet Tendency Radio.
Oh, really? That surprises me. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that an organization like WBUR would team up with another kind of existing media brand, especially, you know, a popular brand like that. But I thought the whole point of this was that it was like a listener contest. You think that they would just strike a deal with McSweeney's and pilot something else? Like, what seems like a weird process to make McSweeney's go through?
Chris Monks is the I think he's the kind of head of McSweeney's right now, the head editor or whatever. He proposed a show called McSweeney's Presents. It is going to bring the online literary magazine to, or at least for a pilot anyway, to the airways. I'm trying to find the description of what they say it's actually going to, how they're going to try to integrate McSweeney's. It sounds like it's going to have sketches and sort of, I'm going to say droll readings. I mean, that's just me, I think, assuming something, but it's going to be the radio version of McSweeney's. I mean, most of our listeners probably know about McSweeney's Internet Tendency, which is a really funny website. It's a little bit dry for me at times, but it's also really funny. It's been around for a long time. It was sort of like before I knew about The Onion, I knew about McSweeney's because they were just kind of one of the early funny websites, basically. I actually managed to take some kind of good feelings away from this article that was in the Boston Globe, which was there was 400 shows that applied, would-be shows, and they only chose five. Did you know that number? So we were in the final five.
Oh, for why was I thinking 14? He said, oh, an email from them said less than 20.
Well,
so
according to this article that I'm reading, there was 400 entries from all over the country for the contest that sought a, quote, creative, funny, and engaging show to make listeners laugh. The five finalists presented their ideas. Oh, maybe we didn't make the five finalists. Wait, so maybe we were in the top, like, 20 or something, and then or the top 14. It says the five finalists presented their ideas to a panel that included WBUR producers and comedian Alonzo Bowden. So we didn't even make that one?
No, we didn't. No, no, no.
Fuck this.
You know, I'm intrigued by this.
I was feeling good about myself. I thought we made the top five.
No, but we were under 20. But, you know, I didn't know, by the way. You did not tell me who won until this moment. So this is all me processing this. Obviously, I don't actually wish anybody ill will, but I am very surprised. I thought for sure. Well, here's the deal. This is maybe my own bias in this stuff, but I just don't think scripted comedy shows. I mean, who knows what'll end up happening? But if it is sketch based or people reading things and being funny and scripted in that way, I have not heard that be very successful on public radio. I've heard shows that have tried to be like the Daily Show of radio and their scripted skits, and like that is always the worst part of those shows. The reasons why things like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is a comedy show, work is because it's based on riffing. You have a structure, and then people who are funny can be themselves and make each other laugh in that structure. So I really first, and I'm also very surprised that a white guy got this. I would think that if I, and who knows who the other applicants were, and a lot of stuff goes into it, but I was really expecting it. I expected certainly at least, you know, I expected a woman to be involved with this, certainly. In some
and by
way.
The way, and I mean, the production of this show could involve, I mean, I don't think it's just one guy producing it.
Yeah.
So you don't know what but I'm with you that I felt like, if my guess was that they would try to, if they could, really give as much attention to and consider very strongly the idea of it not just being. That's why I thought, among other reasons, we would never be the people they picked, because like we don't need necessarily two more white guys doing a radio show.
Yeah,
I think it would be a good opportunity to actually hear some voices, you know, that we don't hear as much doing those programs.
And maybe they and you know, like you say, absolutely. That could be part of the plan. Who knows who's going to be the face and voice of this thing? I can't tell you that right now, but I will say that.
Let's be honest, though. McSweeney's screams white. It's like the whitest sounding website in the history of websites.
Yeah, and also, like when you, what is the fella's name again? I just closed my tab, but like when you type in to Google WBUR McSweeney's, all the news articles have. They mention him by name, the person behind this, and the photo of him sitting there. So
Chris Monk.
So far at this stage in it, the storyline is this white guy got a radio show. Who knows who's going to be involved? And again, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just kind of surprised. I thought it would probably be a couple of maybe younger people, maybe a little bit more diverse, probably taking a podcast idea that is much more like podcasty as we think of it, people talking to each other and making each other laugh around some structure.
Well, that's the thing. For me, it is. And again, I'm openly butthurt that it wasn't us, even though.
How much of that is an act?
None of it, sadly.
Really?
No, because, you know, like, I didn't care about it until now I see it went to someone else, and now I'm, like, mildly annoyed.
You and I have not been on the same page on this at all. Like, I totally don't care about this.
But it's funny because, like, a few weeks ago, like, you and I have alternated caring about this way too much.
It is so weird.
So, for instance, here's what I think is, here's the part about this that I'm a little bit confused by. So, they say the contest came about as Car Talk was winding down. The loquacious, comedic, car-loving brothers, Tom and Ray Maliazzi, were a public radio staple for 40 years. And when I think about what made that show great, and I think about the energy of that show, and then I think about McSweeney's.
The vibe of McSweeney's.
The vibes could not be more different.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they're almost ridic.
I know that everybody in their mind is hearing illest and not ridic. I get it. We're all thinking it. But like that to me is why I feel like if you're trying to replace Car Talk where you're trying to, I mean, and that's maybe the problem is they're not trying to make another Car Talk,
no.
which you and I went back and forth on if our little submission sounded too much, had too many elements of Car Talk.
Advice show, two guys talking to each other, talking to listeners.
This might be, by the way, this thing that they do, this pilot, it might be one of the funniest and greatest shows in public radio. You might hear me in 6 months being like, oh my God, I love it. So that's very possible. But on the other hand, it's like, I don't know what I liked about Car Talk, even though Car Talk was more produced than people realized. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounded, and I'm sure in the very early days of Car Talk, it really was just Tom and Ray just talking, and there was probably one person recording it and somebody phone screening, and it was what it was. By the end, it was very highly produced, but it still had a feel of being very relaxed, informal, improvised. And something like an internet, McSweeney's list of, whatever, fill in the blank. Anybody who's read McSweeney's knows kind of what I'm talking about. That just feels so, again, I'll say it, kind of droll and possibly precious and just like the antithesis of what I think of with the Car Talk guys.
It's like the Harpers of humor publications.
Yeah.
In print.
And again, peace and love. I'm sure that the show will be great. And by the way, I'm like, why didn't they give it to a person of color? Except if they would have given it to us, I would have been like, I would have probably been like, no, thank you. We will not take this because, you know what I mean? Like right. Any criticism.
Well, you'd say no, thank you, because I already have 4 jobs, including a weekend public radio show.
I would have found a way.
well,
and by the
anyway,
way, Ramona and I are working on a pilot too.
I would listen to that.
I didn't know how to tell you about this, but I just think that we have a real kind of spark, a real crackle, a real energy. I don't know why I brought that up and then kind of was just super negative about it, because everything is great. I'm sure that the show will be good. I will tell you this though, when you're talking about like sort of scripted humor on public radio and how hard that is to achieve, I was a producer on a show that was trying to be the Daily Show of public radio, Rewind, with Bill Radke.
Oh, right. Yes, sorry. And
I was insulting
you directly.
No,
there.
My mom is the one who one time said, you guys should try to do more stuff that's funny. That was my mom's actual advice, which you would not be.
I'll say, what's up, Doke?
You would be unsurprised to know, coming from my mom.
Oh, I love that so much.
And it was, and we ran into, I mean, people would say all the time, like, why can't you be as funny as The Daily Show? And I was like, well, for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is Jon Stewart. And nobody, by the way, nobody is actually pitching this BUR show as The Daily Show. But like, Jon Stewart could raise an eyebrow and it could be a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very hard to translate that through the radio. Like you lose the visual element. And also it's in a vacuum. A lot of times when you're doing, if you're doing a radio a sketch, I mean, it's part of the reason why, well, it's actually slightly separate. I was going to say it's part of why we don't do them on LiveWire as much. They just really didn't hit. The live crowd liked them, but they just really, it was hard as a listener in your car or doing your dishes to have the same experience. And even more so, if you're not doing the show in front of a live crowd, our problem on Rewind was we couldn't tell if it was funny or not, and there was nobody laughing at it in the room, so you just put this sketch together, which took hours to assemble. And I just don't think it was actually really as funny to the listeners as we hoped it would be, even though it was being created by people who were funny and acted out by people who were funny. Everybody involved in the process was good, but somehow the final product just never quite got to where we wanted it to be. So
I was going to pitch an idea about like two cowboys who are just kind of like clip-clopping their way around the West, kind of being droll.
Uh-huh.
And one of them could be Rusty. I don't know. I had a whole thing that I sent BUR. They passed on it.
I had pitched a whole idea for a show where everything sounds like it's going to be a joke, but then there's never a punchline.
I was kind of making fun of A Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to do. It just wasn't fun. Oh, I thought you were making fun of my joke there.
No, I was
making fun of A Prairie Home Companion. Sorry. I ruined your joke because I thought my joke was so bad there.
No.
That I thought you were actually looking me in the eye and saying, yeah, I thought there was going to be a punchline to your joke.
No, I was just
like, wow, that was bold, man.
I used to listen to I had an odd relationship with Prairie Home, too, because I used to catch it sometime, and I actually think I kind of liked it, but I do remember as being kind of young and getting into listening to public radio and just waiting and waiting for years for the joke, for the punchline
for
of any
years,
of that stuff.
You're still waiting for the Ketchup Council joke to pay off.
I mean, because I would just be listening and it'd be like, well, Lefty, we're, looks like, and then it'd be like, oh, my cell phone's about to die. And people, I've unintentionally made a more of an actual joke than they ever made during that sketch. It was just kind of very, like, it was like wistful humor, which, I mean, should that even be a category? Should wistful humor be a thing? Well, that wouldn't be a terrible show title.
I was going to say it should be a thing for us.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that was extremely unprofessional of me to just like announce the people who won the contest that we couldn't win and then say why I don't think it's going to be good. That is, I just want to tell you, that is open jealousy and insecurity from me. It's the only reason, that's the only thing driving that behavior. Good luck to them. I'm sure the show will be great. I hope it's great.
I hope it is.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if it will be.
I'm just a sad, pathetic person who, if anyone gets anything that I didn't get, then my mind goes to, you know, how can I tear this down? I just want to be honest about that.
Yeah, and I'm making huge assumptions about what the show will be. And if it is kind of what I'm hearing in my head, I'm nervous on its behalf. But I think that public radio needs more good, fun weekend shows. So I want it to be good. Hey, programming note. It occurred to me, were we ever going to go back and even talk about our hitchhiking experiences?
Oh, we still haven't even talked about
Shannon. We haven't even talked about how we got here.
Oh, my God.
What it was like to stand
Shannon
on the side
was the
of the
guy
road.
Who worked at the Avis counter in Belton.
You said, I'm a wizard.
And he was like, oh, cool, I can upgrade you. So I guess the story of this is that we were able to come down in a mid-size SUV at the cost of a full-size sedan. So, yeah. We're doing it, guys. We're living it.
No,
you're right. We gotta because you know, as you know,
life is a highway.
As you heard in the intro tape, somebody did throw pennies. A kid did throw pennies at. I still think he was trying to throw them at us, but because of the movement of the vehicle, it just ended up that he threw them at you. I don't think
Maybe,
he made
but
a
he
decision.
He looked me in the eye, gave me a big smile, and kind of laughed, and then all of a sudden jerked his hand up.
Yeah,
and
was he
looked
even,
me in the eye as yeah. he threw two pennies directly at my face. We were standing, we should just say, you and I were standing, hitchhiking, on the freeway on-ramp. I can't remember which highway it was.
71 South.
71 South outside of Kansas City. And we just did it. We just got a whiteboard at
Office Depot.
We explained to the woman behind the counter what a podcast is.
And then wrote down the website.
Wrote down the website for her, and
so
off
nice,
we were.
Hope you're listening right now. Nice young lady from Office Depot.
And there we were. And I think you will attest that I was very nervous. I had a lot of nervous energy, and it got a little bit more intense. I don't think I was outwardly freaking out, but I could tell that something was going on with me that you were noticing.
Yes. I think it started building, honestly, as soon as we posted the show
mm-hmm.
and walked out of the hotel in Kansas City. And now it was kind of like, okay, we're going to go grab something to eat real quick, and then we got to figure this out. I think we were both really nervous. I think I was like, I was smashing it down in a different way. And I think you were, it was a little bit maybe more noticeable for you. But you also just called it. You were like, I'm really nervous about this hitchhiking thing. Because mm-hmm. even when we were in Denver, Iowa, hitchhiking, that was weird for its own reasons. But we weren't really on display. We were in the problem with Denver, Iowa was there wasn't enough cars.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of on this little side ramp, and it was like lack of activity. This was the opposite. This was like next to a McDonald's, across from some custard place, not far from a extended stay America. I mean, just one of those kind of on-ramp, off-ramp from the freeway where there's like a bunch of, you know, places you can grab some quick food, et cetera. And it was at rush hour because of the timing of things, like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, very late.
So there's traffic is lining up, and we're sort of standing there with a sign that's almost reminiscent of if we were panhandling, kind of like you see somebody standing, they're walking up and down the rows of cars. That was us basically, except our sign said Springfield and had a drawing of microphone and headphones. And we were standing there, and it was, and even just the walking up there felt like, okay, deep breath, we're just doing this. Like, we have to walk over and stand here. And we don't have a ride. We're in friggin' Belton, Missouri. We're trying to go to Springfield. The only way we're going to get there is if some people let us in their car and we go there. And amazingly, this guy, Shannon, pulls over and says, how far are you? Where are you going? And
He's driving a car. I just want to say that because I was really picturing a trucker or a truck picking us up
yeah.
or an SUV. This was like a sedan of some sort.
Yeah. And actually, I take that back. He didn't say where are you going because he saw our sign, which is a big part of this story. He pulled over and he said, you guys can jump in back. And I said to him, well, how far are you going? Because I didn't want to leave that spot and go 10 miles down the road and then be in a less great spot. So I said, how far? And you know, Springfield's like three and a half hours from where we were. So I was thinking, what we're probably going to end up doing, and by the way, which totally might happen today because we're trying to go to Memphis after this, which is 5 hours. What I thought was going to happen is we were going to get picked up, best case scenario, by a series of people who were all going 30, 45 minutes. And we'd have to just piece the trip together. And that's when the time would really start to sort of add up, because you got to get out of the car and re-hitchhike and then hope someone gets you. And
it's
then go
late. I was really worried about being, okay, we're going to take you 40 miles on the road or even 100. But then how do we know that you're dropping us off somewhere where we can get another ride? Or if worse comes to worse, find a place to even stay. There's just so much space in between places.
Space between.
Knowing that the evening would be coming at a certain point, I was very nervous, and I continue to be nervous
probably,
now.
That was also probably part of what was animating kind of your, like you said, mm-hmm. your nervous energy was partially the hitchhiking, the act of standing there with our thumbs out, and then partially the questions of, are we going to be in the middle of nowhere short of our destination? And really, like, in kind of SOL, as they say.
One thing that I want to talk about with you is this moment where, so you and I were kind of facing different directions. I'm holding the sign at this point. You're hitching your thumb out. And I didn't notice that this car had pulled over. You're like, Walsh, let's go. And so you bend over. You talk to him through his window. I don't know why I need to mention that you bent over. It was a highlight. You talk to you.
I want you to stare into the Gideon's Bible and apologize. Okay.
I don't know what's going on with me. It was just a weird detail for me to say. So you kind of took care of it, and then the trunk popped, and it was like, okay, put your bags in the trunk. And that's where, and I want to actually talk about this for today too. You put your bag in the trunk, and then I'm about to put my bag in the trunk, and it occurred to me, I just got overwhelmed with, no, my bag's not going in the trunk. Like, all of my stuff is in there. I'm not talking about my clothes. I'm talking about the stuff I need to do to make this show the next week. Both of my microphones, my recorder, mixer, computer, all that stuff. And it occurred to me, how do I know that once I close this trunk, I have no way of ever opening this trunk again? Like, I haven't been nervous about my well-being or somebody attacking me, but I am kind of scared of people who want to take stuff from me. And it could be like if somebody's just like, put your bags in the trunk, come up. And then once that trunk closes, I cannot get that. I have to 100% trust this person that they will eventually open this trunk for me again. And I was like, nope, I'm going to keep my bag in the back seat with me. But there's a baby seat in the back seat, a child seat, plus our friend Shannon's suitcase, this guy who I didn't even trust. He's got a suitcase back there. So I try to get in the back seat with my giant pack. And it doesn't fit. And then by this point, though, I realize, oh, okay, I've seen the inside of the car. Like, this is just happening. And I put my stuff in the trunk. That was something that I hadn't anticipated, this idea of not being able to get my stuff if somebody's trying to grift us. And so I'm wondering today, should I take the essentials, the microphones and my little recorder, screw the computer. We can do this show without a computer. Well, that's not true. Should I take my computer, microphones, and the recorder, keep them in my separate little tote bag and make sure that that's always with me at all times in case somebody does take our bags?
No, I mean, no. I would say because a couple things. One, I was – because I was the one who was interacting with Shannon, and what I said was, how far are you going? He said, almost all the way to Springfield. So that was, to me, really good news because mm-hmm. I was like, holy – Molly, this is the perfect person to drive us because they're going to take us almost the whole journey. Also, I could see that he had a badge, like he had like a, you know, an identification from his work. Mm-hmm. Also, I just looked him in the eye and he was totally normal.
Yeah.
And then looking in the car, he had some things that were related to his work, it looked like.
Yeah.
And so I had that whole experience that calmed me immediately. Like there was zero that was sketchy about this guy. But you had not been the one talking to him, so I had not really relayed that information to you. But I was also very worried that if we wasted even 1 second,
sure, yeah,
that then, you know, he was going to change his mind or decide he didn't have time for this. Now that we know this guy Shannon, who turned out to be a totally awesome dude, it would have been
amazing guy.
He was fine with it. I could have taken as much time as I needed to let you know that the person driving us was, you know, completely normal and wished us well, but. In that moment, I should have probably taken a moment to, like, we almost need a hand signal for whoever goes up to the window to let the other person know, yeah, this is okay, this is a, mm-hmm. you know, this is going to be fine, because I knew it. You didn't know it yet. So you were like still, I think, had your guard up. As far as the question of like creating a separate bag, here's the thing. If we get essentially robbed of our stuff, we'll figure something out for the show. I don't think that we're going to get robbed of our stuff, but somehow you're not going to get your computer taken. And then we're going to be doing the show. Well, thank God we have the computer. Our underwear is rotting on our bodies because we've been wearing it for 3 days, but we have the computer and the mics. Like, to me, if we get robbed, I'm just going home. It's like the whole, it's like, forget it. Sorry,
it's
Jamie.
It's not supposed to show on Friday. Just post a rerun.
No, show's over. Forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
No, donate first. Boy, talk about a grift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just put your donations in the trunk of our car. I just, honestly, like, I just don't, I also think that the chances of somebody driving around with the hope that they can steal shit from hitchhikers and then finding, we've seen this whole time, we have seen zero other hitchhikers. As we mentioned on the opening tape, when we were in Belton, we saw people panhandling. That's pretty common, obviously, at freeway on ramps and off ramps. But nobody else is hitchhiking. So the idea that somebody would be driving around with the plan, with a plan in mind of how to separate hitchhikers from their backpack and then rob them and then kick them out of the car. We could see the license plate number. Also, they have a car. So they're like, they're that sketchy, but they also do have, like, we're not going to get in like a super duper sketchy jacked up car, probably, you and I. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like if someone drives up in a reasonably normal car, if they look like a reasonably normal person, the idea that this could all be a plan in their mind of how to get our stuff, it just seems like that chances of that happening are so low.
Yeah.
Now, if we were, and I don't want to get gendered with this, but if we were, if we were two 16-year-old girls, or if I was traveling solo and I were a 16-year-old girl and some guy pulled over and picked me up, I think there'd be a reasonable chance that that guy, whether or not he was somebody who was, you know, a predatory, there is a decent chance that somewhere in the back of his mind, he might be like, well, you never know what could happen. I could really hit it off with this person and who knows, fill in the blank. I like that would be the kind of thing where I would think there's a reasonable chance that a lot of people that would be picking up a young woman or a young man, depending on whatever was going on. I could see somebody kind of having this thought of like, well, maybe something amorous could happen by picking this person up.
Yeah,
but stealing someone's stuff, that seems like a different...
You'd have to be like kind of driving around thinking like, this is what my plan is. Like, if it's the 70s and there's hitchhikers all over the
place.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you could be like, oh, here's,
hey,
this
is the scam I run.
This is the scam I run. But there's just like so few hitchhikers, I just don't think that... I could be totally naive, but I just don't think that that's a very likely scenario. I mean, and also a lot of that comes down to what kind of car we get into. If somebody pulled up and they seemed, for some reason, weird and unreliable... And their car, I don't know how a car would indicate this, but they just kind of like, we got a weird vibe, then we just would totally not get in the car, obviously.
Yeah.
But let's see here. What else do we need to do? Okay, so we need to call Keeks. We got to call Kiki Lolo. So thanks to Shannon, by the way, for driving us. Shannon, dude, you're the best if you're listening to this.
Shannon did not get this far into the show.
Yeah, okay.
Shannon stopped after... when we got into the WBUR stuff, because Shannon said he was going to listen, and we talked about him at the beginning, and then we kind of he's like, okay, after fundraising, they'll come back and talk about the actual hitchhiking and my part of this story. And then we went into WBUR, and he's like, well, guess I only got the mentions.
What if he also thinks it's a kind of a bad idea to try to develop McSweeney's for WBUR?
He's working on the show.
Oh, my God. What if Shannon, he's working, I'm so sorry, dude.
What if he's working on the McSweeney's?
Gosh darn it. We really put our foot in our mouth, and I apologize. No, Shannon, though, was such an awesome dude, and it was really fun getting to know him and drove us all the way down here, as we've already explained, here to Lebanon, where we now sit about, I guess, 70 or so miles outside of Springfield. What we are going to do when this is all done, and the show is on the internet, is we're going to put our packs back on. We're going to walk down to... Highway 4, and then I think we're going to take that and try to get to Highway 5, and then we are going to head for Memphis, which is 5 hours away. I'm wondering if we should write... We may go... I haven't looked at the map. We may or may not go through Springfield on our way to Memphis. I got to look at the specifics. Do we put Springfield on our sign again, or do we put Memphis on our sign? I feel like Memphis is shooting the moon. It's like you're hitchhiking in San Francisco, and you've written... Chicago on your sign. I mean, should you write like two towns over? I mean, are we overreaching? Are we hoping for too much by writing Memphis on our sign as we stand here 5 hours away from Memphis?
I could be talked out of this, but I feel like starting with Memphis is good because it makes our intentions clear. I think that I would obviously prefer to get more of a long haul going yes. here. And if we write Springfield, it might increase our chances of getting to Springfield, but it also will just mean we definitely are hitchhiking again. Whereas be somebody who's like, well, I can't get you to Memphis, but I'm heading, you know, pretty far in that direction. That's how I see this going.
I can't get you to Memphis, but I do have a human slaughterhouse that I've set up in my backyard.
How do you feel about centipedes?
How about this? If the person who tries to pick us up is wearing overalls but no shirt under the overalls, Digstown.
Digstown.
What if they're wearing a mask of leather, of mm-hmm. questionable background, a sort of leather face, if you will?
Oh, a chainsaw salesman?
A chainsaw salesman with a heart of gold and a leather face. What do we do about that?
It is true that it will be awkward if we get and you raised this yesterday, so I don't even know why I need to bring it up again. I think I was a little bit more dismissive of it, but actually being out there yesterday and then having this moment of like, oh my God, we're getting in somebody's car. It does make it more awkward when I think about trying to turn down a ride. And you raised this yesterday, so again, I'll shut up about it. But like, if for some reason Shannon had given you a bad vibe for whatever reason, it would have been kind of hard to be like, nah. I mean, we got to remember that we have the agency to do that. We can't yes. let our social awkwardness put us right. in a dangerous situation. That is the stupidest thing we could do. No, this whole trip is the stupidest thing we could do. but I now understand why that would have been a really awkward moment. That would have felt like a very tough thing to say, to look Shannon in the eye, and then if for some reason not like the look of him or his car or his vibe, saying, you know what? I just remembered. We're not going to Springfield. We actually need to go to Shoney's across the street.
Could you drive us there, please?
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Okay, let's call Kiki Lolo up real quick before we do the Blur's Day messages and find out about our next destination of Memphis, Tennessee. Of course, if you've been listening this week, you know that our friend Christina Lopez of APM, a.k.a. Kiki Lolo, has been working as our sort of travel coordinator. She's been doing some research on the various towns that we are on our way to, although we've really now managed to not get to any of the towns that she has researched in a couple of days. So hopefully, I really want to get to Memphis, though, because that puts us 3 hours outside of Columbus, Mississippi, and I really want Friday to be like a non-stressful day.
Mm-hmm.
So I am very much hoping we can make it to Memphis. Let's give Kiki a call.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Kiki.
Hey, what up?
How's
Christina?
It going?
Hey, we are in Lebanon, Missouri, at a place called the Munger Moss Motel, which is like a total 1950s roadside motel on Route 66.
Wow. How was your trip?
It was adventurous. We hitchhiked, Kiki. We hitchhiked.
Wow. How many cars did it take you to get there?
It was just one car. A guy named Shannon drove us for about three and a half hours all the way from Kansas City to this place, which is just outside of Springfield.
Wow. I'm so glad that you got to where you're going to, but I didn't do any research on Lebanon.
Yeah, I know. We're a little disappointed in you. I got to be honest. How did you not anticipate this?
Well,
I hope for the best and also expect the best. So. Yeah.
Well, the good news, Kiki, is that I've done a lot of research on Lebanon. Of course, if you come to Lebanon, you can't miss Hippie Holler Vape Shop, which is next to the Applebee's where we ate last night. And
what did you get at Applebee's?
What didn't we get at Applebee's? That, I'm not even kidding you. That was so good, that food and that that Bud Light. That was like the best meal and drink I've had in a long time. I went with the appetizer platter, combo platter, which is funny because the other a week or so ago on TBTL, I was proudly telling the story of how I was at a different Applebee's and I saw the combo platter and realized it was like 3,000 calories. And I was like, swerve on that. And then last night I said, don't swerve on that. Eat on that. And it was so good. And then Andrew, he got a slab of ribs.
So good. Yeah, I miss getting slabs of ribs. In Seattle, all the barbecue places are kind of a little bit more precious and they serve individual ribs, which is a different way of making, like, and it's a different style of ribs. But I feel like I can't go anywhere and just be like, give me a big plate of ribs that I got to cut apart myself and make a mess of. And that's what I did last night, and it was wonderful.
Aw, I'm glad you got to live your best life, Andrew.
Yes, that's right. Andrew's like, give me an amount of ribs that if I put it on the side of my car like Fred right. Flintstone at the drive-in, it will tip over. And they did. So
pork ribs or beef ribs?
They were pork ribs.
Okay.
So we are going to try. This is going to be ambitious today. We got really lucky yesterday that we had one person who was going almost all the way to where we were trying to go. Now we're trying to go to Memphis, and Memphis is deep from here. It's like 5 hours. So hopefully we make it. If we do make it to Memphis, is there anything we should look for? Kiki, I've heard it's a pretty quiet town. They don't get into music or food. It just kind of is just a sleepy little hamlet.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was looking for, like, unheard of things or, like, low, like, unseen things of Tennessee. And they had this place on the list I was really surprised to see called Graceland. Have you ever heard of it?
Ooh, is that that's where Paul Simon used to record his albums, right?
Was it Paul Simon or Art Garfunkel, maybe?
One of them, yeah, definitely. Art Garfunkel, I think, used to record at Graceland.
No, I was looking for, like, things that people don't necessarily see in Tennessee, and there were a couple of lists, and one of them, like, Graceland was on the list, and I was like,
what?
Are you serious? but I feel like, have you guys been to Tennessee before? Because I have never been to anywhere in Tennessee before.
I don't think so. Maybe as a little kid I went through it.
Yeah, I probably had a layover there, but I don't think I've actually really done much exploring. I'm a big fan of the song Tennessee by Arrested Development.
Okay, so basically we're all starting on the same page.
Yeah.
well, go to Graceland, I guess, but if you're not really about that Elvis life, there is something, if you need like a moment of cute, there's the Peabody Hotel Ducks, and for almost 100 years, these little group of ducks have been, well, I guess it's a different group of ducks every time, but they have a little rooftop penthouse, and at 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. every day, they walk down a little red carpet and wallow into the fountain that's there in the lobby.
That's great. Adorable, the Peabody Ducks.
The Peabody Hotel Ducks, and they have a duck master, and celebrities who have been a duck master in the past include Molly Ringwald and Peter Frampton.
Wow, I want to be the duck master. You be the gatekeeper.
Maybe I can like figure out a way to get that going for you guys.
Yeah, if you could. Actually, the problem is we don't, I mean, we're going to try to get to Memphis, but I would feel bad if you pulled some strings and got us established as the co-duck masters, and then we actually didn't even get to Memphis.
Yeah,
so maybe we should just show up and see if we can talk our way into it.
Okay. I hope that happens for you.
Okay.
Are you sick of barbecue, by the way?
No.
I like that we're calling Applebee's barbecue now.
Well, you know, you had pork ribs.
No, I know.
I don't know if you want to do ribs twice in a row.
Oh, yeah. I would do ribs many times in a row. What do you got?
Okay, so there's this place called The Barbecue Shop, and I saw it in one of those New York Times 36 Hours in Tennessee write-ups, but it looked really good. You can tell a ribs place is good by how glistening the meat looks when you see it in photographs. And these had, like, a soul glow shine, like Jerry Curl shine to them. So I think that place is legit. And they also had something called spaghetti barbecue or barbecue spaghetti. And it just looked like brisket next to a bunch of spaghetti. And you know what? I'd be down for that.
Yeah, somebody told us that we were supposed to eat fried ravioli in Kansas City. A listener did, and we just sort of didn't have the time. We got in kind of late, and then we had to leave the next day. So if we missed that, at least we could still have spaghetti brisket when we get to Memphis. I feel like we're not doing enough to eat the local cuisine, because the weird thing about this is, even though we have sort of all day to do stuff, our days have been weirdly packed with trying to hitchhike and also trying to record these shows. So maybe we got to get some classic Memphis food, though.
What are you thinking?
Well, I mean,
barbecue.
Well, no, I mean, maybe that's it. Like, I just feel like we haven't gone to one, like, famous food institution in any of these cities that we've been in. So maybe we'll start with the brisket spaghetti.
Yes, that sounds like that might be a good plan. I mean, or you can do the, like, peanut butter and banana sandwich, you know, the fried peanut butter and banana sandwich.
That's an Elvis thing, right?
Yeah, that's an Elvis thing.
I think that's an Art Garfunkel thing.
Art Garfinkel.
Oh, right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what else?
There's also a place called the Beauty Shop, which actually is a converted beauty shop. It's now a restaurant. And the owner claims that Priscilla Presley used to get her beehives done there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's actually an interesting cuisine, because it's like Caribbean and American mixed together. But it actually looked like a really good, like, it could almost be in Palm Springs with how, like, 60s Art Deco it was.
Uh-oh. You just you just piqued my interest. The Beauty Shop in Memphis. Okay, that sounds awesome. If we get there in time.
If you get there in time.
Okay. Anything else we should know about Memphis?
I mean, they have a really great civil rights museum, but I don't know if that's really the vibe you're going for on this trip.
I don't know. After we talked about Tom Sawyer earlier in the week, I think you really... You really,
I'm setting the tone.
Yeah, you really raised the level of discourse. It wouldn't be completely crazy if we went there.
Yeah, that's true.
You're setting the tone here, Kiki.
Oh, no. It's your show.
It used to be.
Yeah, the listeners have already figured out that you're by far and away the most entertaining element of this show now.
By the way, I'm totally creeping in, like, being a little lurker on that Sten's fan page, and I'm enjoying the conversations that are happening there.
Don't lurk. Be loud and proud on that page.
Okay, I'll chime in this time.
Our new catchphrase
I'll see when you guys post new photos, because I'm excited about that.
Our new catchphrase of the show should be, lurk, don't lurk. I'm still workshopping that one. Okay, anything else that we should know about Memphis, Kiki, before we go out and try to see if we get lucky again with the hitchhiking?
It's the birthplace of Kathy Bates and Leslie Jones and Judge Joe Brown.
Whoa. Andrew, you look mystified.
Who's the third person?
Judge Joe Brown.
I don't know who that is.
He's part of the kind of like, Judge Judy, oh. People's Court, verse, Judge Mills Lane.
I figured you knew, like, Elvis was born there and Justin Timberlake was born there. I was trying to find some people that, like, weren't.
Yeah, Judge Joe Brown.
Maybe was surprised.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not me. I just didn't know who it was. I wasn't sure if it was, like, a famous, like, justice or something. I guess you would have said justice if it was, like, a Supreme Court guy.
I mean, I don't know anything about Judge Joe Brown's politics, but I could tell you, if he was unqualified to be a Supreme Court justice, there's a likelihood he would be nominated under the current administration. But I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, so we're going to go obviously lay flowers at Judge Joe Brown's house, even though he's alive, and then we're going to go hit the beauty shop and see if they can give Andrew Priscilla Presley's beehive hairdo, and then swing over and visit the Ducks, and then maybe once we've done all that important work, if we have time, hit the Civil Rights Museum.
Yes, or, you know, there's a disco there that happens every night called Paula and Rayford's Disco. It has a $10 to $15 cover, but, you know, they play some really good jams from what I've seen.
Whoa.
Dollar Summer.
Really?
I don't know how you guys... doing this and trying to plan this, I realize how little I know about you guys.
No, but you nailed it, though. I'm a total disco duck.
No way, so am I.
No, I'm just joking. I don't have a disco bone in my body.
But it's not too late.
My mom, that was like my mom's era of music, so I just like have a soft spot in my heart for Donna Summer and Diana Ross.
And also, you're from New York, where there's that kind of like Studio 54... Like, there's like a disco quality, I think, to New York that they didn't really have in Valley Center, Ohio, where our boy Andrew, where AndyGrill.com was growing up.
Yeah. I was drinking well water.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Christina, thank you for the update. Thanks for doing the research. If everything goes according to plan, well, I guess regardless of if we make it to Memphis or not tonight, we have to get to Columbus, Mississippi by Friday night. So that would be the next assignment, I guess, would be. And you know what's kind of funny is if we asked you randomly, can you like tell us what's up in Columbus, Mississippi, kind of cool, quirky stuff? One of the things you might come up with is something called Sunstroke House, which is a house where people just like have, you know, house shows. And that's listener Jamie, and that's who's having us do the show on Saturday. She would probably be on the list if she wasn't already the place we were going.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. So,
but if you want, you could look up some dirt on Jamie. I would love to have some dirt on Jamie that I could hold over her head when we get there.
Ooh, okay. I might like this challenge.
I love it.
All right, Christina, thank you.
All right, bye, guys.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
Did we bring the bass on the road?
Oh, yeah, we did. And also the transition.
It's Blur's Day. It's Blur's Day wherever you are in this case.
Today's my Blur's Day.
Lebanon. Okay, Megan, a.k.a. the goat lady from Mount Vernon.
Now, by the way, we should clarify, Megan works with goats. She doesn't have a rare condition that Jim Brewer on SNL also suffered from, where she's part goat, part lady. She's all lady.
Are you 100% sure? Like,
I have.
You've met her. Okay,
I've met Megan on a couple of occasions, and I've also met her wonderful now husband, is who I believe she's given the Blur's Day shout out to, right?
That's right. She says that she would like to wish a happy Blur's Day to her new husband, Mark. Or as I like to say, Mark. I added that. That was me.
I cannot believe she just made that joke.
We got married a little less than a month ago. And his birthday is tomorrow. That's the 22nd Friday. I couldn't be happier to be his wife. Nice. Congratulations, guys, for real. Tina would like to wish herself a happy birthday. She says, I'm turning 30 years old today, and I'm currently somewhere between... why would you do this to me, Tina? Geirangerfjord and Flam on a 14-night cruise through Norway. There's no way I got either one of those even close.
I thought it sounded semi-believable.
It would mean a lot if one of my favorite podcasts would wish me a happy birthday. Well, dude, I will do that. I don't know if they're doing it for you on The Gist, but we'll do it here. Happy birthday, Tina. Go-to podcast joke. Need to update that.
Happy birthday, Tina.
Happy birthday, Blur's Day. Our friend Sarah in Boise. Now, this is Sarah, who we stayed with in her driveway when we pulled up with our RV around 1 in the morning.
Last year.
Last year.
I believe it's called The Bench. The Bench is the neighborhood in Boise where they live, which is just awesome.
And Sarah says, I want to wish a very happy I'm great at this. I want to wish a very happy Blur's Day to my dear, dear friend and neighbor, Casey, in Boise. And, of course, we know Casey. We met her when we were visiting. Casey, of course, is Marge the Bulldog's owner.
Marge.
Best Bulldog I've ever met. And she was my partner in last year's TBTL-a-thon RV stopover. Casey and I like nothing more than giggling over the latest TBTL hijinks together. So giving her a Blur's Day shout-out seems like the perfect way to tell her how much I love having her as a friend. Here's to Casey, who always knows the right way to rock. There you go. Happy Blur's Day, everybody.
Oh, man. Happy Blur's Day to all of you. You know, it's thinking about Marge the Bulldog, I'm sad we haven't had any good dog hang times on this trip. And, like, next week, you know, I mentioned I'm going to be going to Illinois. I'm leaving after the live show in Mississippi. I'm going to be leaving Mississippi and heading up to Illinois to do some work for CBS. And then I was debating between just staying on the road because I've got to do another shoot for Microsoft. I've got to do Livewire. And then I thought, I got to go home to see Rudy because Carrie's actually going to be out of town next week. So basically the deal was I was going to just stay out and do my thing because I wouldn't be traveling as much to go home and then leave again. But honestly, the thought was I got to go hang out with the pod dog and the Bay Kitty. Yeah, is that weird?
No, it's like, not. They're your family, damn it.
I'm rerouting my trip so I can go home to be with the pets.
No, that is important.
And to
important.
Some degree, DFTB, but mostly the pets.
Hey, when we go out here, I was just thinking ahead to what music to play. I typed Memphis into Spotify. I'm getting a lot of Walking in Memphis by Marcone. I will some people suggested that for our road trip mix that the listeners have been kind of putting together with me on Spotify, and I was like, sorry, I'm just skipping that one. I won't do that. I can't handle that song. I was thinking, of course, Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee by Paul Simon.
That's a Garfinkel classic.
But that's a little on the nose, but for some reason, Son of a Preacher Man came up by Dusty Springfield. Oh, I see, because it's off of her album Dusty in Memphis, so maybe that's live. I do love that song. Is that a weird vibe for
no,
us?
No, let's do it.
Just want to play the studio version.
And you know what? Our friend Shannon was the son of a preacher man.
Oh, you're right.
Gave us a ride, so
you're absolutely
very apropos. So as Andrew is dialing this up, I'll just tell everybody what we've already said a bunch this show, which is we appreciate you supporting TBTL. We need you to support TBTL. If you're considering supporting TBTL, please head over to TBTL.net. We got lots of cool thank you gifts, and it's the only way we're going to keep this whole thing going. So please do help us continue on this very important work known as Too Beautiful to Live. We will be back here tomorrow, hopefully from Memphis.
Hopefully. I'm getting the nervousness again.
Yeah, you're getting the feeling?
I just felt it in my gut.
Getting the fear?
Like, oh, shit, we're done with the show. Do you want to do another hour?
We'll go to Applebee's for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Hit the Holler vape shop. And then
Vaping good in the neighborhood.
And that's your show title. That's why you do the show. That's why you play the game. Vaping good in the neighborhood. All right, we'll join you from wherever we manage to get to by tomorrow. Until then, enjoy your Thursday. Go Mariners, go eat a bagel, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, he come and tell me everything is all right. He kiss and tell me everything's all right. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Lord, oh, he was. Yes, he was. Power out.